Now let's talk about types of multifamily properties. You're going to be mostly experiencing in commercial properties, you're going to be mostly experiencing garden complexes. You've all seen them. They're 2-3 levels, walk up, very, very common. Now in the Northeast or in the urban cities, you'll see walk ups that are 4 to 6 floors. Can't imagine living on the 6th floor and having to walk up, but there are lots of them in New York. Mid-rises, which are 4 to 8 floors with an elevator. I'm sorry, the first walk-up is no elevator. That's why you walk up. But then their mid-rises are about the same, but with an elevator. And then, of course, high-rises. And you've all seen these. But again, most people are going to deal with garden complexes, unless you're in a New York or a Chicago, where there's a lot of urban-type apartment complexes. Now, again, what's exciting about commercial multifamily is the values based on net operating income. And I'm going to show you, like I said, exponentially how you can increase the value of the property by increasing rents or decreasing expenses or both, okay? Much more economies of scale. I mean, again, I went out and bought 2,000 houses, guys, one at a time from different owners, fixing them up, you know, renting them out, managing them, spread out 2 hours that way and 2 hours that way. I'm pointing north and south because that's the way I'm positioned here in my property. Now, I will tell you, that's a management nightmare. Much easier. You know, hindsight's 20/20. If I had it to do all over again, I would have never done single family at all. But I digress. So economies of scale, much easier to ramp up quicker. I could have bought a 200 unit, 400 unit, like you can and will. You can buy larger properties and ramp your cash flow much faster, much easier to manage, much more logistically favorable. You know, and here's a big one. You can outsource the day-to-day management depending upon the size of the property. And again, I told you how you can still have some help even with the smaller properties, but with the large enough properties, you're going to have the ability to have, of course, an on-site full-time manager that's paid, leasing agents, maintenance men, they're all full-time there on the property. Much more logistically easy to manage. There are massive economies of scale. For example, with single families, everything's different. Every house is different. Different mechanical, different stoves, different refrigerators, plumbing and electrical. But with multifamily, typically when they're built, everything's the same. So you can stockpile materials. The maintenance man's right there, so he doesn't have to drive to Lowe's or Home Depot, which can be a long way away, and you're paying for that travel time. So again, I'm trying to sell you on multifamily versus doing a whole bunch of single families. It's just much, much easier. And it can be faster to achieve your goals, okay? For example, let's say you want $100,000 a year in income. Okay, I'm going to show you on the easel how that works. Okay, so the goal is $100,000 a year in passive income. A good average around the country is about $200 per month per unit in cash flow. Maybe not right out of the gate when you buy it, but ultimately that's typically where you'll end up. Of course, it's higher in some places, lower in some places, and there are so many variables, but we'll use 200. So that's basically $2,400 a year per unit, okay? Multiply this out, and I've already done it. Multiply that times 42, say a 40 unit building, but in this case 42, that's 100,800. Now, what's easier? 40 houses or 10 fourplexes or 20 duplexes or 140 unit building? I'm sure you know the answer. So again, you need 42 units to achieve that goal in this scenario. All right, now let's talk about classifications of properties. And as I told you, there's 4 classifications. Now, the top classification is Class A. They're what's considered the premier, the luxury, the top of the top. They're the best properties out there. They're the most expensive. They're typically at least $100,000 a unit. In some places, they're much more. In fact, I was just watching Grant Cardone last night, and he's buying a complex, I think it was in Miramar, $175,000 a unit. Now, those of you that have heard my interview or seen my interview with Grant Cardone know that, you know, the guy's got 4,000 units and he knows what he's doing. But I even choked when I heard him say $175,000 a unit. So I'm certain that's a Class A property. They're the newest and most modern. They've got the most amenities, the pools, the clubhouses, the exercise rooms, you know, all of those things. They're typically, you know, been built in the last 10 years, so they're new construction, nice finishes. They're very often energy efficient. They're in the best locations. So those are Class A properties. Here's an example, but you know, there are lots of examples. This is a mid-rise property that's a Class A, but you've seen them, some of the nicer, newer apartment complexes. So anyway, here's Class B. That's the next one down. Now, Class B serves middle-income tenants typically. They can vary greatly in the way they look, and they're typically constructed within the last 15 to 30 years, okay? So they're older, they're functionally very well laid out, they've got good functionality, there's very little deferred maintenance, and great quality construction, they're well built, the landscaping looks nice, they're located in stable neighborhoods, they're good looking properties. And they don't often have as many amenities as the Class A, but they have amenities, so they're nice properties. So here's an example of a Class B, okay? Now I will tell you, these pictures are a little misleading when I show you Class C in a minute, because I've seen a lot of Class C properties that look like this as well. They're not as well maintained. So don't get too wrapped up in how these look, because like I say, many Class C properties will look like this. But Class C is what we love. I love Class C properties in B areas, and we'll talk about B areas in a minute. Anyway, that was actually a picture of a Class B, but I just want to tell you again, that can be a Class C. So Class C is constructed within the last 30 to 50 years, typically. And again, these are real average, could be 20 years to 60 years. You know, don't get locked in on that. Average to low functionality, you know, they're average room sizes. They're not, you know, crazy small. Windows are normal size. Sometimes they're a little smaller than a B, but, you know, all in all, they're in good shape, and they can be updated to be very, very nice. Typically a little outdated, in need of remodeling. They don't typically have a lot of amenities, very few amenities usually. Now, the location can be in a stable or declining area. Obviously, we don't want a declining area. We want a stable or a rising area. Typically good rental rates. They're solid rentals because they're affordable housing, and affordable housing is such a huge need in this country, okay? This is why we like this class. Average vacancy, there's not typically a high vacancy. Of course, I'm gonna teach you all about that and what you need to look for. And they appreciate they average appreciation. But again, keep in mind, appreciation is something you control. So because you control the net operating income, you control how well you do based on how well you manage, okay? So that's a Class C. Now here's a picture we found of a lower end Class C, but again, that could be a Class C as well if it's just in the area stable or maybe a little declining or it's a little run down. So, okay, so that's Class C. Now let's talk about Class D. This is where I started, guys, and I can tell you very stressful horror stories about managing these types of properties. Okay, they're slumlord properties. I mean, I've had these in Denver, I've had them in Memphis, and I've had them here in Florida. And lots of violence, drugs, prostitution. I mean, I've had people killed in my houses, in front of my houses, behind my houses. I've had the streets blocked off because the drug traffic was so bad. I mean, you know, this is tough stuff, okay? Now, I will tell you, a lot of you will want to start here, and I'm just going to tell you to go in with both eyes wide open. Me, I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't do these properties. Yes, they cash flow more, but they're much harder to manage. And because they're much harder to manage, they take up your time and they take your time away from buying more properties. So if I were to do it again, this is just me talking, I wouldn't do D properties. I would do at least C. But they're built in the last 30 to 100 years, extreme functional obsolescence. Now what that means is rooms are very small. If they have a closet in the bedroom, it's very small. Kitchens are small, low ceilings. Functional obsolescence is usually stuff that's very difficult to fix, okay, because it's walls, okay? So keep that in mind. Poor construction, or certainly old construction with poor materials. Poor condition, you know, bad location in the roughest parts of town. This is the hood. You know, D properties are in the hood. No amenities, okay? And here's an example, and you've all seen them, you know, boarded up, rough, you know, stuff falling off the ceiling. I mean, just in really bad shape. Usually there's suspicious characters hanging around on the street corner in these areas. So these are D properties. Now, let's get back to Class A properties. Here's the people, the types of people that buy Class A properties are typically the REITs, the real estate investment trusts that have unlimited funds from Wall Street. You know, they have investors invest in these REITs and they go out and buy these properties. They have no debt, so they can overpay, in my opinion. But they buy these properties because they're very stable, they're low risk, and they provide high appreciation. But they're not really driven by cash flow. They're driven more by appreciation. And the cap rates on these properties are typically 4 to 6%. And I'm going to teach you what cap rates are. But basically, in a nutshell, they are a multiple that's used, that's applied to the net operating income to arrive at the value. And the lower the number, the higher the price, and the nicer the property. Okay? So 4 is about the lowest you'll typically ever see in a cap rate. And we're seeing some fours here now. In fact, that property that Grant Cardone was just talking about was a four cap rate. And he was talking about how people were going to say he was crazy, but the numbers made sense. And I trust his judgment on that. Now, Class B properties, same institutional investors buying those, REITs buying those, big corporations, private investment groups, and high net worth individuals as well. Cap rates typically from 6 to 8%. Now, don't be locked in here. Sometimes they're 5 on B properties. Sometimes I don't think you're going to see much lower than 5 or much higher than 8 on Bs unless the market really takes a correction. And they're purchased for stability, cash flow, appreciation, and slight risk, a little more risk than a Class A property. Now, Class C properties. Private investment groups, high net worth individuals, individual investors. Cap rates in the 7 to 10 range, although we're seeing some C's in the 6 range right now because the market's hot right now. And they're purchased for cash flow, but more importantly, they're purchased for your ability to force appreciation. What that means is your ability to, based on your efforts, raise the price, your ability to increase rents, decrease expenses, go in there, reposition, it's called. When you reposition a property, it's to go in there, you fix it up, you raise the rents, and you basically force appreciation. So that's why we love these. And of course, there's higher risk than the A and the B properties. It's manageable, but it's higher. Okay. And then the Class D, that was me back in the day. Always individual investors, cap rates literally from 8. I've seen them as high as 20%. 15 is common. 12 is common. High cap rates. Less. You're going to pay less, but they cash flow. They cash flow great, high cash flow, but they do not appreciate, okay? You're not buying Class D properties to sit on and hope that you can sell them for more based on values appreciating. That doesn't happen. And they're very high risk, and I think I've gone into that. Now, again, we like C properties in B areas or B properties in A areas. Properties that we can improve and reposition and increase the value on.